Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity is back from his gallivanting up to New York to do the Hannity program on Thursday. He's tanned, ready, and rested. Well, maybe not so tanned. It's been a little cold out here. But, Jim, even as we head into Christmas week here, still plenty of good news, bad news, and other news as it relates to conservatives. As always, we start with the good news, and this is not just good news for conservatives, it appears, but good news for East Asia and really the entire world. Here's the report we got from Fox News reporter Greg Palkot earlier this morning.
I was on the phone for at least part of the night with my contacts in South Korea, and I can tell you they're breathing a lot easier now. South Korea staging an artillery drill. North Korea had threatened a retaliation. Well, apparently Pyongyang has blinked.
And that, of course, was supposedly a retaliation North Korea had promised in reaction to the latest round of artillery exercises by the South Koreans, of course, a few weeks ago that resulted in strikes from North Korea, which led to the deaths of four people. But as you just said, Pyongyang apparently has blinked, and obviously that's great news.
Yeah, I mean, we should note that by the time people listen to this, it is theoretically possible that rockets could be in the air and North Korea could blow up the whole peninsula. But let's assume for the sake of argument it doesn't happen. Late last night when I was writing, kind of wrapping up the night portion of the Morning Jolt, I look on Twitter and it says people are reporting, you know, 90 minutes from now, South Korea will begin its artillery drill. And obviously this was what, you know, the great provocation that North Korea had been saber-rattling over and saying that they were declaring unacceptable and would invite a terrible retribution, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, you know, by tomorrow morning, the Korean Peninsula may not be here anymore. And I'll have, you know, that's terrible, terrible news, not least of which because I'll have to rewrite much of the Morning Jolt. And that did not happen, thankfully. And it turned out that it looks like North Korea issued some sort of statement suggesting that the South Korean provocation was not worth responding to. I don't know if it translates directly to those grapes are probably sour anyway or what it is. But it's kind of a surprising reaction. We've discussed this before on our three martini lunches, and the sense with North Korea is you never really know what to expect from them. They're always surprising you. And perhaps the lack of reaction is perhaps the most surprising move they could have made. Not being an expert on East Asian affairs, I look at this and I say, all right, maybe we've learned something from this. Maybe we've learned that you know, brinksmanship, as terrifying as it may seem at times, can work, that we've found that there are situations in which North Korea will not escalate. I think they realize that if they did respond and did start shelling things, that the South Koreans were going to respond overwhelmingly, and then it was going to be Katie bar the door because all-out war was going to unfold. And that's reassuring to know that there are lines that they won't cross, at least for now. And now we just got to see what happens. You know, obviously there's a lot of story left to be written on North Korea, but, you know, we could have had a much worse morning if North Korea had reacted differently.
Well, I'm sure what made the difference in the minds of the North Koreans was that there was a special session of the UN Security Council yesterday, even though they didn't come to a resolution on North Korean tactics. I'm sure just the idea of a possible resolution really got them back into line, because those resolutions have worked so well in the past.
Hans Brix, I want you to stand right there. Right there. I can't help but notice, I think this was observed a couple of other folks on Twitter, that it took the UN less than 24 hours to respond to the Gaza flotilla incident earlier this year, but they still haven't responded to the shelling of the South Korean island, which kind of tells you all you need to know about the UN's capacity to respond to crises.
Exactly.
But nonetheless, like I said, considering how ominous things looked just 24 hours ago, it's somewhat reassuring to know that life goes on in the South Korean on the Korean Peninsula, as tense and challenging as that can be.
All right, let's move on to the bad martini now, and the big vote, of course, in the Senate as the result of the last few days of this lame duck session came on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal on a Saturday, and here was a jubilant New Hampshire Democratic Senator Jean Shaheen.
I think it's very good news for those people who want to serve this country. It's good news for our military, and at a time when we need the best, most expert people to serve in our military.
Now, in this particular martini, the senator from National Review has graciously yielded the floor to the senator from Radio America. The idea that the military is better off on this is very unknown right now. What we do know is that most of the debate from this Pentagon report on the Senate floor was over what little damage potentially this might do to the military. There seemed to be no discussion of how it might actually benefit the military. You had all four service chiefs saying this was not good, including the Marine Corps commandant saying this would actually risk the lives of soldiers and Marines in combat right now. So you have clearly the concern on the part of military leaders doing this now, where we're on two fronts in Iraq and Afghanistan, but particularly Afghanistan. If you look at the Pentagon report, the Marines, who are obviously engaged in combat, highly against this. The Army slightly in favor of it, but if you factor the two together, you probably have a majority opposed to it. Then, of course, you have the cultural component of this, and obviously many Americans who consider this to be a right versus wrong issue on conduct, and that may not be for the Senate to decide, but you have a lot of social conservatives who are passionate about this, and the Republicans need them in the elections to come and to basically walk away from this issue. You had some out there who were fighting for it to keep the status quo, especially during wartime, like John McCain. And I praise John McCain about as often as we see a lunar eclipse during a winter solstice. So he and Jim Inhofe and some others stood up for this. But the Republicans that voted in favor of this, some of them you expected, the two from Maine, Scott Brown. Mm-hmm. But Richard Burr and John Ensign, and for whatever reason, I love Pat Toomey, but why he got involved in this debate prior to taking office is beyond me. So social conservatives may not be happy about this. It'll be interesting to see if they hold a grudge against Republicans.
Yeah, Greg, one observation I'll make, which is something of a silver lining to the bad martini, is that this was as a separate vote. I count me as one of the folks who was very bothered by the idea of folding this into the defense appropriations and trying to sneak this through. This is a controversial enough issue that the very least everybody should be on the record about it and vote it up or down. And if the electorates of particular states want to hold people accountable, they will have that opportunity to hold them accountable. The other thing which I'm going to note is we've talked in the past about the great accomplishments of this Congress. Greg, think about it. They began the year with Lilly Ledbetter. They, you know, the middle of the year, middle of the cycle, they passed health care, which is an abomination that everybody hates and is, you know, Republicans do everything they can to repeal. And they end the year with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So they begin and end the year with two topics that are really, you know, on the margins to most Americans. Most Americans would be much happier if they just had jobs and a lower unemployment rate and a better economy. But that's fine. They took care of these two tiny little constituencies that I guess they'll have a Merry Christmas, and everybody else just has to plod on with the year as is.
Well, we'll see if folks have a Merry Christmas, because if the airports at the start of this week are any indication, as we unveil our third martini here, it could be a dicey week. And we were both grateful back at Thanksgiving that we weren't traveling by air. I can't say that this time. I will be flying over this. And the story from Newark here on Monday is that an entire terminal was shut down briefly because a computer monitor going through checked baggage, surprise, surprise, emitted a small dose of radiation.
You know, Greg, this is so disturbing on so many ways. One, because I just suddenly realized, man, how much time do I spend in front of an open computer screen? My face like 2-3 feet away from it at most. So, God, you know, how much radiation am I getting every single day I'm working on all these things? And the second thought is, really, they don't have these things calibrated to detect between the normal, I guess I'm making air quotes as I say normal, the normal level of radiation from a computer versus, say, a dirty bomb. That's just kind of really disturbing to know that it's, you know, that's still an open question. It doesn't reassure us in the capabilities of TSA. And yes, you know, I'm not flying this holiday season, but I understand, you know, later this week you will feel the heavy hand of government on your junk. As it, you know, so you're bad enough you're going through all of this type of stuff. They also can't tell the difference between terrible, right, menacing threats of radiation and, you know, somebody leaving the laptop on.
Well, I think ever since the ink cartridge situation, they just fear that any piece of computer equipment must be part of a terrorist plot. So this could be very, very interesting.
The lesson of this is the TSA and laptops are just two bad things. TSAs and laps generally are bad things to put together.
Yeah, now apparently with the new security screenings, they're combining the two. TSA getting involved very much in your lap. So I'm really looking forward to this, as you can tell. But what I am looking forward to, Jim, is being back with you tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We'll have more fun then.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us tomorrow at this time for the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch.